You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
A near supernatural goal from Lionel Messi.
Ronaldinho takes and David Seaman's cut off his line. And Brazil take the lead.
Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everyone. Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup, presented by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, NRG, Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. ESPN975.com for the stream of the podcast and the show. Airbnb has donated $1.3 million to the Houston Soccer Committee. Great news down there. I'm Glenn Davis. Welcome in, everybody. Monday night, a great and fun live show at Senate Avenue Brewing, which included visits with former MLS and Houston area products Josh Gardner and Arturo Alvarez. Both of these great Houston stories when it comes to people that grew up here in Houston and are now impacting the game through coaching and scouting and many, many other things. A lot of Houston soccer pride here. And you know what else there's a lot of pride about and excitement? It is real now. We are getting close. In fact, we are only 2 days away from the World Cup draw. World Cup draw will take place in Washington, D.C. It's real. It's here. It's coming. And it's exciting. We're going to find the team's pathways to potentially winning the World Cup. We'll find out what the U.S. national team is going to be confronted with, or whatever your favorite national soccer team is. We will be doing a live show. ESPN 97.5 is your leader in English language soccer coverage. We will be doing a live show from East River 9 downtown. Hope you come down there. I got some Soccer Matters hats, T-shirts. We're going to have a group of people down there, and we are going to cover this, the celebrities, the FIFA executives, these little ping pong balls that are going to determine the fate and future of teams in this chaos, which may be a 48-team World Cup. But this is exciting. It's going to get real. We're going to start figuring out who, in fact, are going to be grouped together and what teams are going to potentially meet in certain rounds of the tournament, but we'll get these groups done. Now, let me just remind you about the World Cup. And maybe you're out there right now listening tonight and you're not the biggest of soccer fans. So let me just give you some of the basics again, which I think is important to keep doing. The FIFA 2026 World Cup is a 39-day tournament. It will start on July 11th. The first game will be in the legendary Azteca Stadium. It will go through July 19th. The other significant thing is it's being held in the United States on our 250th anniversary. It is hosted by three countries. The U.S. is going to have the majority of the games, and then there's Canada and Mexico as well, and Mexico's got some legendary World Cup sites like Azteca Stadium, Guadalajara, from the history of the World Cup. The host cities in the United States are Houston, Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Seattle. In Canada, it's Toronto and Vancouver. Who knows? Vancouver might be an MLS Cup winning team by the time next week rolls around, as the Whitecaps will take on Inter Miami in the MLS Cup final on Saturday. Mexico, you got Mexico City, Guadalajara, Monterrey. Now, significant is this is a 32-team tournament that has now gone to 48. So you'll see the inclusion in the draw of a lot of other countries that have never been to the World Cup, places like Curacao, like Cape Verde Islands. 12 groups, four teams. The top two teams advance, so there's 24 teams that would advance, and then the eight best third-place teams, and then you get into a 32-team knockout stage. So it goes to a round of 32, a round of 16, you get into the quarters, the semis, and the final. Now, there is some unknown in this tournament, obviously, because of the size of it. Eight teams plus a playoff team come from Asia. The African Confederation puts nine teams in plus one goes to a playoff. CONCACAF, six. CONMEBOL, six. Oceania, UEFA. And there's an intercontinental playoff as well. So there's still some playoffs. We will get grouped 42 out of the 48 teams in this draw from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. You're going to see a ton of politicians getting out there, getting the FaceTime. You're going to see celebrities. I think the Village People are supposedly playing. I think Andrea Bocelli, the famous opera singer, is going to be there. So this will be Friday at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and you're going to tune in here. If you're out and about on the town and you're doing your work, tune in to ESPN975.com. Myself and many others will keep you updated on what's going on with the draw. So again, the opener is June 11th at Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. The final is at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. How about that? Right near where I grew up. Halftime show, first time in history for this World Cup. Now, specifically to us in Houston, here are the dates. And everybody likes saying, well, it's like seven World Cups. Seven Super Bowls. I guess that's a good way to reference it. I think it's bigger than that. Because remember, there's going to be 500,000 people plus coming to Houston, Texas. So here's where we have games. The month of June, we have six games. On the 14th, the 17th, the 20th, the 23rd, the 26th, and the 29th. So it's pretty interesting. Those games, every game that's played, then there's 2 days in between. Now, when you get to June 29th, that is a round of 32 game. You get to July 4th. And you're talking about a round of 16 games. So we have two knockout stage games down here, which really is pretty phenomenal. So that's kind of the lowdown on it. Friday down at East River 9, we'll be there from 11 to 3. It's going to be exciting. There's going to be a whole bunch of excitement when it comes to the actual draw. And, you know, it's kind of flipping the page now. It's starting to feel real. It's getting closer. It's going to affect our city. It's going to be the greatest sporting event we have ever held in Houston, Texas. And there's a lot of people working behind the scenes on it. And then there's you, the people that help bring it here, the people that are passionate about soccer here, the 2 million strong that come from every corner of the planet. You're the ones who brought the World Cup here. Without the attendance over at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment and Energy Stadium, that was the eye-opener. If you remember, Jamie Roots was involved with that. David Fletcher's carrying the torch here. That is how Houston got a lot more, you know, bang for the buck from the standpoint of awareness, not only here in the United States, but globally as a soccer city. And then, of course, we've got these other great levels of the sport. The fields are filled every night here in Houston, Texas, with all levels of players from little kids, youth soccer players, amateur, adult, and it's played organized, it's played unorganized, but we fill our fields every night. There are people making a living off the game of soccer here in Houston, and it's a prideful place. That's why I said, you know, the other night we had two youth players that grew up playing in Bear Creek Park and Meyer Park and the fields around Houston. One of them's now a U.S. soccer scout, Arturo Alvarez. The other one is heading up an MLS Next program, is heavily into player development, Josh Gardner. These are great stories. These are only a couple. This is just scratching the surface with Josh and Arturo. This town has got so many great stories. We have a young lady right now, Leah Klenke, who grew up in Houston, who played for Notre Dame. I called her ACC Women's Championship. She's up for the number one player, college player in the United States. Excellent player. Grew up on the fields here playing in Houston. And the stories go on and on. Last weekend, the UConn men's team got beat. They're coached by Chris Bondi, another local area player. They got beat in the NCAA tournament. And there's more of these stories, and believe me, I'm missing a bunch of them, so don't feel left out. In fact, if you got a story, let me know, because that's part of what I like to do here is create and spread the awareness of the game here in Houston, Texas. I arrived here in 84 to play with a professional soccer team called the Houston Dynamos, plural. And a lot of those men on that team went into coaching here, helped grow the game, much like teams before us, the Houston Hurricanes and the Houston Stars. So contributions come from a lot of places. The game didn't originate in one area. There's always somebody who was before you, but there is so much pride here in Houston. You know, college programs rolling over to U of H, Rice, Houston Christian. I know I'm missing stuff. So this is going to be a big celebration for soccer in Houston, soccer in the United States. It's going to be a platform for more unique soccer fans to come into the fold here and into the excitement. You're going to have downtown the fan zone, which will be in Edo. Of course, that's going to be a big place to go. But you're also going to have these hot spots all over Houston that are going to be showing games, creating events around the games, bars, restaurants for people to come to. And, you know, if you don't want to come into the fan zone and that's not your thing, you go to Jersey Village and you go out to Jersey Village and you go to Senate Avenue Brewing, or you go down to Slip Sliders in the Museum District, or you go out to Sugar Land and visit Sugar Land, and you go to watch parties out there. There's going to be so many cool things that blossom from this. And of course, there's going to be a lot of business to be done, and businesses can capitalize on the World Cup and people being here in Houston, Texas. Okay, here's who we got on tonight here. David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, is going to join me here tonight. Peter Bermes, the former U.S. men's national team player. He played in the 1990 World Cup. He's got some great stories. Wait till you hear this interview. He was also a 17-year head coach of Sporting Kansas City in Major League Soccer. Now, the interesting thing about him there is he had a lot to do with building the culture there. He wasn't just coaching the team. He was in all areas of that club, whether it's player development, marketing, the presentation of the club, was finally, you know, finished his career there. But he's out there, and Peter has some really interesting stuff on the 90 World Cup. And he also talks about a big, big X factor, and that X factor is getting positive and getting behind the U.S. men's national team as a country here. And that's what can drive a host nation. I think that's something really interesting to keep an eye on here, because the U.S. now is in a much better place under Mauricio Pochettino. He's built out depth. He's gone to a three-back system. A lot of things have changed with the national team now. There are a lot of potentials to make that final roster. There's names that we didn't really think of as potentially going to a World Cup that now seem to be shoo-ins. Guys like Max Arfston, Matt Fries in goal, Christian Roldan, there's a lot there. And then, of course, you got the big names like Christian Pulisic. There's injury concern around Anthony Robinson. So there's a lot there. But Peter talks about going to the 90 World Cup in Rome. And basically, it was college players under Coach Bob Ganser. It's an amazing story. And you'll hear some of those good stories from him. And then the man that you call David Fletcher over at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, we're going to talk to him. We're going to talk about the stadium, how he's feeling as we're getting into the home stretch here. And remember, you got a rodeo that's got to be executed, and then straight into getting a grass field set up over at Energy Stadium. So it really, really is amazing stuff. Okay, let's take a break here. We're going to come back with Peter Vermees after the break. You're going to hear some really interesting stories there. This is Destination 2026 Houston's Countdown to the Cup, presented by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. And I am your host, Glenn Davis. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, @GlennDavisSoc.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Hi, welcome back to Destination 2026. I'm Glenn Davis, Houston's Countdown to the Cup, brought to you by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Quanta, Energy, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. A reminder here, FWC26Houston.com. You can get merchandise that is official related to Houston. You can also get the Houston City poster over there. Again, it's FWC26Houston.com. And for all things in and around the World Cup and soccer, and of course our show Soccer Matters as well, along with Destination 2026, you can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram @GlennDavisSoc, Facebook, Glenn Davis, and @GlennDavisSoc. Okay, Peter Vermees, former U.S. men's national team, was a part of the 1990 team that went to the World Cup in Italy. Essentially, it was a college team under then head coach Bob Gansler. Peter Vermees went on to have a stellar professional career, became the coach of Sporting Kansas City post-career, and is one of only two players in Major League Soccer history to have won the MLS Cup as both a player and a coach, the other being Peter Novak. So here is my interview with Peter Vermees, and there is a lot in here. Well, Peter, like all of us, we have those defining moments where we first learned about the World Cup and it became something big in our life when we're kids. Which was yours and when did it occur?
I think it was the 82 World Cup. I watched 78. A little bit of it, but the 82 World Cup was, and I don't know if you remember, there was a documentary created and it was called Golay. And Sean Connery did the narration of it. And honestly, I don't think there's a better documentary in soccer than that one. And even for that time period, you think about it, like the camera work that they were able to draw out of each game. Like when Tardelli scored his goal for Italy, and the passion that he shows after he scores, it just gives, I mean, even right now, I got goosebumps thinking about it. That World Cup really resonated with me as a kid.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Last week, we've been doing a thing called Monday Night Football down here. We aired that film. It is an incredible film. And it's got a young Maradona in it from the beginning. And you're right, the camera work. I mean, Sean Connery's voice just... But yeah, spectacular. 82 had everything, including that when Schumacher came running off his line and smashed into the French forward, Baptiste. Anyway, that was a good one. So 82 for you. All right, 90 World Cup. it's a huge moment for U.S. soccer. It becomes now sort of a benchmark moment to get back to a World Cup. You're a part of that team. Maybe just some thoughts on first when you guys qualified, but then actually being over there. And this was a younger and experienced team, let's face it, under Bob Gantzer. That's what everybody knew because that's where we were at the time.
Yeah. You know, the final game against TNT, against Trinidad Tobago, everybody talks about it. My memories of it are a couple. When we landed in the airport and we drove from the airport to the hotel, I mean, the streets were lined, and I'm talking 10 people deep were lined from the airport to the hotel with their fans in red and black. I mean, it was impressive. It was in some respects intimidating. On the TV that night, they came out and said that the game day was a holiday in the country. So only everybody's focus was on the game. At the game, when we lined up to go out onto the field, I remember looking into the eyes of their players and I could see the fear. It was too much pressure. The country put too much pressure on them as players because, you know, all they had to do was tie. It's all they had to do. But you could see on their faces that this was heavy. And for us, we had nothing to lose. The goal, I'll tell you, there's a guy on our team. I would even use Paul Caligiuri in this. There's not a guy on our team that thought that, first off, he was shooting from there, like he was going to shoot. And I don't know, you know, he'll tell you probably something different, but I don't think he expected that ball to be going in from where he shot from and then the situation itself. But we were destined to qualify for sure. And then you're talking about us getting to the World Cup. We had a great experience, and that is, when we were going through qualifying in our own country, almost every venue, almost every qualification game, other than some in St. Louis, and that's debatable, we were the away team. I mean, our opponents usually had more fans from their country at our games than ours, right, than American fans. And when we were driving up for the game, it was our second game in the World Cup. It was USA against Italy. We were driving into Rome, driving up to the stadium. There was a street that we turned around, and the whole thing was people from the United States all dressed in red, white, and blue. We had never seen that before. And that was, boy, a moment that I'll never forget, because for us, that was, oh my gosh, we've never seen this before, something like that. And then I remember walking out into the stadium. You know how when you get to the stadium, you get there, you put your stuff down, you go out and you check the field. Nobody's there yet, right? Like nobody's at the stadium. You go out and check the field, see what kind of shoes you're going to wear, all that stuff. So we go out there, and this is hours before the game. And I would say there's roughly about 500 people somehow in the stadium. And I think what they did was they let certain people come in and set flags and, you know, put all the stuff around. They were already yelling, like they were chanting and stuff. I couldn't believe how loud it already was. And the stadium had 500 people in it. I mean, that stadium was packed, right, once we came out. But what I did was I laid down right on the center circle, you know, facing upwards into the sky. And, you know, I can still see myself doing that. It was kind of like taking in that moment, and then walking out for the start of the game was just unbelievable.
Beautiful. I mean,
you're lucky, right? Because we're playing in Italy, and now we're playing Italy in Rome. You know, it's kind of like Gladiator. You know what I mean?
Host nation. Was that the best game out of the group stages? I mean, obviously, result-wise, you're playing the host country under incredible pressure. You had played Czechoslovakia, got beaten by them 5-1 to start it, and then you played Austria to end it. But was that the best game, I guess?
Probably from all perspectives, yes, it was. Tony Meola played out of his mind.
Yeah, he had a great game.
He really did. But at the end, I always say this. They won 1-0. It was our, by far our best game. There was a chance that I had. Bruce Murray had we had a free kick. Bruce and I would, you know, we trade off. And so on this one, I acted like I was a lefty. I would run over the ball and I would go on the outside of the wall in case there was a rebound. And I would just keep running to the goal, and then Bruce hits. And we would, you know, we would trade it up every once in a while. So he's hitting this one. He won the debate that night, right? So I run over, he hits it, and Zenga makes a save to Zenga's right, and now I'm on the left. The ball's on a look, the ball's on a very tough angle. You know, there's not much goal to shoot at. So I figured, look, and it's amazing what goes through your mind. Like, I'm thinking the whole time, like, I don't want to hit this over from this space. Like, I don't want to miss the goal. I at least need to get him to make a save. So I'm like, I'm going to keep it low. And I was really trying to go between his legs. Because, you know, a lot of goalkeepers, the way they plant, you know what I'm talking about, right?
It's a good place to put it sometimes.
Right. So especially where they plant in those situations. And so I hit it. When I hit it, it goes through his legs, but it hits his ankle and it bounces and hits his ass and his rear end, whatever. And it bounces around. And one of the guys comes and clears it off the line as it trickles into the goal. Now, we didn't really deserve, at the end, I'm being honest, we didn't deserve to tie the game because they had a lot of chances and Tony stood on his head. He also missed a penalty. At the end, 1-0 result was respectful. Look, I want to win, but we didn't deserve to win. They did. And so, yeah, it was a great game by us. It was a great environment. Never forget it, but the result was fair.
What else jumped out to you about that World Cup? Anything? Yeah. It didn't have to be U.S. related.
I mean, there's a lot of different things. Funny anecdote, I remember in that game. So, you know, when you're back then, it's not like it is today, right? I mean, you were organized and everything, but a lot of stuff was done by players, right? Like, you know that. I mean, a lot of decisions were made in-game. You know, coaches got you ready, but, you know, you didn't have advanced scouting as much as you thought you did back then because there wasn't resources like you have today and all kinds of different companies that video games and do, you know, analysts and all that. So we're in game, and I remember, like, we're on a defensive corner kick. And, you know, a bunch of us are there and all the guys are coming up and you know, I'm like, I got Maldini. And then another guy's like, oh, I got Viali, right? And all of a sudden they're looking at each other like, what? Like, who do we, you know, really, we have these guys? But because you got to remember, like, we're all a bunch of guys that, you know, weren't too long ago out of college.
Yeah.
Right? At that time on that team, I'm 99.9% sure I was the only player playing in Europe at that time. I was playing in Holland. Everybody else was playing full time for the U.S. team. So, you know, we're in a completely different world. But that was a funny one, thinking that, you know, you see these guys. And back then the Serie A was the biggest league in the world. It wasn't the EPL. So, yeah, that was an interesting one. And then other things that were – The time we spent training, spent part of our time in Switzerland. Then we went to Italy. I remember after we, you know, you talked about the first game against Czechoslovakia. Well, Eric Winalda got thrown out in that game, right? We went down a man,
right.
And that didn't help us at all. So we were pretty pissed about the result. Like, we were really pissed off.
I remember them being a bunch of big men. These were
good,
big physical guys.
Eastern European team, yeah. Man. You know, right? They were machines.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget this. So the day before the Italy game, so we're in training, and U.S. soccer, you know, all the dignitaries are going to show up to training soon, and we're already in training. We're playing a small sided game. And I am not kidding you. This is 5-10 minutes before all like president, vice president, you know, everybody from U.S. soccer is showing up, we have an all-out brawl in training.
Oh.
It started where one guy got megged, and then he got turned around, and two guys were close to the goal, and they started pushing, and then it was just a melee inside the goal mouth. And I'm telling you, it was we fought back then, right? And people were throwing fists, they're flying, and all of a sudden, kind of comes, like, all the coaches, staff members are running in, trying to break stuff up, whatever, and all of a sudden, everything calms down. We all of a sudden start playing a game again, and all of a sudden, all the guys, all the president and everybody starts walking up, and they have no idea what just happened. But it was great because it already set the tone for the next day. Like, we cared. We cared.
Did Bob Gansler play off that incident in training a little bit?
Yeah, he was actually pretty good at things like that. He actually liked things like that. And he knew Bob was a silent button pusher. You know what I mean? He wasn't a boisterous coach. He was just he picked and chose his moments where he could push a button on a player or a group or whatever. He was pretty good at that.
Yep. Peter Vermees joining us. A couple things on Peter. Obviously on the 90 World Cup team, 67 caps, 11 goals for the U.S. If that's accurate, I found that. But we knew he played a lot for the U.S. national team. Also, one of the rare guys in Major League Soccer, because he's won the MLS Cup both as a player and as a coach, and of course spent 17 years at the top in Sporting Kansas City. And we're going to get to that in a minute. World Cup 2026. What comes to mind here? We're hosting it. It's a big opportunity to platform the game again. Just what are some of your initial thoughts to us being the host, one of the host countries, along with Canada and Mexico?
I think this is the best pool of talent that we've ever assembled. I think that when you have guys, as we do, playing in not only some of the top leagues, but top teams in the world, and playing in the best competitions, Champions League, Europa Cup, and then playing in their domestic competition that they are. It's one thing to have a player, you know, a national team player, U.S. national team player playing or being on a good club team in a good league. It's another thing for having them perform. I mean, you just take Christian Pulisic. I mean, he again, I hear people talk about all kinds of things about him, right? I've heard it all. And I'm always surprised when I hear the negative things. Like when I hear people talk about, I've heard people say like, oh, well, you know, he's got to be this leader and this captain and this. No, he doesn't. It doesn't say anywhere just because you're a good player that you have to be this type of leader or leader. Sometimes your play just does it. Sometimes you're a leader without being a guy that goes and runs around and is, you know, yelling in everybody's face and all that stuff. I mean, I remember a great story from Vince Lombardi's book, and it was about the quarterback, Bart Starr, isn't that right?
Yeah, Bart Starr.
And you know, there was getting ready for a Super Bowl, and he's kind of standing, leaning up against the doorway, and all these guys are talking, all the stuff is talking, and you know, even Vince Lombardi's giving his speech, and when he's kind of done, he walks out, and all the guys look to him, kind of like, hey, you know, are you going to talk? Because he was kind of like he's quarterback, he's the guy, right? And he turns to everybody and says, "Talk is cheap," and he walks out into the field. Like, I don't. Yeah. I could say, oh, I want to run. Let's go out there and do it. And the guy did it. And right. So there's all kinds of leaders. I think Christian, what he does is personally, I think that he proves it on a regular basis, the way he plays. And I think what happens is it's probably the evolution of our game in our country, because it's not just the game. It's the evolution of having a professional league that's been around for 30 years. You have players that have exited the game. You have players that have played at a high level, notoriety, and now they have opinions and they say stuff all of it's good for the game, but I would say that when the World Cup comes, the thing that has to happen is we have to rally behind our team. We got to stop all this negative stuff in and around the national team and what's going to happen. Because even with Pochettino, only thing that counts is what he does in the World Cup. That's why he was brought in. So leave that alone and support the team and get behind it, because when that, you know, the 12th man is everything. It's everything. If you get the country, it's one thing you get your, you know, your city behind you. Imagine getting your country behind you. That could really change things. And I think this is an opportunity for us to step off of what happened in 94, which resulted in MLS and other things, the women's game and all these different things that have happened. I think this is now the opportunity to go to whatever you want to call it. You know, is it 2.0? Is it 4.0? I don't know. Whatever 0.0 it is.
Bar.
It's the next evolution, and we got to take advantage of that. But I really think that the results are important. I think the U.S. team's going to do well, personally. I do. But I also think that we have to support them and understand that, you know, it's a process getting there. Just look at Argentina in the last World Cup. What happened to them in the first game, right? Things can always happen. You got to keep the focus, stay aligned.
By the way, I think people forget that, because Mexico considers Argentina their best rival, was their second game. They had to win that game pretty much.
Yeah.
That was a very tricky situation. That's good that you brought that up. We're talking to Peter Vermees. Some of the negativity, though, isn't some of that due to technology and guys on podcasts and trying to build their numbers and all that stuff?
Well, I would say 100%, but unfortunately, that's what gets the play.
Yeah.
And what I want to make sure is that the country understands that, like, don't buy into the negativity. Stay with the positivity, because again, that's what's going to push the team forward, and that's what's going to create an unbelievable experience for this World Cup in our country.
Okay, so that's Peter Vermees. Great interview there with him, and I do really like his urging the United States to get behind the national team, because we have seen host nations do extremely well when gathering and grabbing and galvanizing the support and the pride of a nation getting behind a team. And I think the United States is primed to have a very, very good World Cup. But again, we've got that World Cup draw on Friday. Don't forget to get out there. East River Nine, I'm going to be there. We're going to do a draw show around the World Cup to let you know who's in what groups. We'll talk about all the celebrities at the event and all the big shots that are going to be down in Washington, D.C. as we find out the pathway for the teams in the World Cup. All right, stick with us. Speaking of a guy who's going to be at that draw in Washington, D.C., Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, David Fletcher joins me next.
ESPN 97.5.
Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment tonight of Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup. Brought to you by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy, Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Aramco. And our final segment's going to be a good one, because on Friday, we all know it is time to find out who is coming to Houston, Texas. The FIFA 2026 World Cup draw will take place. By the way, join me down at East River 9. We're going to be doing from 11 to 3, 4 hours of draw talk, World Cup talk, et cetera, et cetera. Pivotal force in this in Houston, Texas. He is David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, of course. Energy Stadium is going to host 7 World Cup matches. David, thanks for coming on the show. As always, I'm still pretty stunned we're hosting 7 at Energy Stadium.
How fun is that, Glenn? It really is surreal to think about. So many people for so many years have worked to build Houston into a premier destination for the sport, and to think that we will have that opportunity on the biggest of stages to shine this summer. I pinch myself every day as a soccer fan, as a Houstonian. And just really excited for another milestone this weekend as the draw and schedule get released for the tournament.
Well, the other night I had two Houston area products on the show that are now in scouting and player development, Arturo Alvarez and Josh Gardner. Arturo represented El Salvador. But when I see young guys like you taking the lead in the soccer community that have played the game, have played on the fields in Houston, there's a little something extra special about that.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And, just this past weekend with the holidays and everything, family was getting together. We were looking back at some old photos and just the idea of how much we invest in. I mean, the journey continues, and thankfully it does. My daughter's in a soccer showcase in North Carolina this weekend, and I was talking with our president, Mike Thoman, this morning. His son's in South Carolina, and it's part of what you hope you can be a part of as you become an adult, as you transition. It's not just the big events, but it's the way that the culture of soccer is infused into our lives as a family today. It's a lot of fun, and certainly this World Cup is going to be a big moment for that as well.
All right, let's get to it. You're heading down to Washington, D.C. Everybody's anticipating the draw. We're looking forward to finding out who's in the group of death, who's coming to Houston, who the U.S. men's national team is going to get. There's so many storylines to this, but this is a pretty exciting moment for you. And look, I know it's business as usual, but for you to physically be there is something extra special, I think.
Well, I mean, the soccer world will be descending upon Washington, D.C., and, Chris Kennedy and the host committee have done such a great job to this point. They're really driving us into a fantastic position overall. And as part of my business, looking forward to being in D.C., looking forward to being around the spectacle of everything going on. And most importantly, looking forward to finding out who will be here at NRG for those first five dates next summer and who might be here for those last two. So we're excited because we're so involved in the sales and marketing of the event, partnering with the LOC and really just for us, we've been working for 10 months now, selling the dream, selling what could be and working with other partners to do that. And now to have some more clarity is going to be, I think, a big moment and really another step in the universe realizing how big this will be for our community.
David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, LSSE.net. So we find out on Friday what teams are coming to Houston, but we don't find out, where they're going to be schedule-wise in Houston on the 14th, the 17th, the 20th, the 23rd, the 26th, and the 29th of June, and then July 4th. So we have five group stage matches and two knockout rounds. And once people find out who's coming here, I'm sure that's going to move ticket sales as well.
Well, number one, yes. Number two, great opportunities still exist ahead of that. I would imagine from a pricing perspective, you're going to see once those matches are set that the market will go up. So LSSE.net, we are happy to help you today in getting anything you need for any of the matches here at NRG or really anywhere in the tournament. I think that's a really unique element of this. For those that were able to and experience Qatar and how, the proximity was so close for all those stadiums because of the size of that country and the structure they had. Houston a little bit further away than say Dallas, New York and everything else, but you have an opportunity to really if you choose to experience the passion in many markets, we can help with that. And so LSSE.net for all your needs. We're obviously focused on NRG and the seven matches here, but The way that they've structured the hospitality options, we've got flexibility to help you in any of the three countries that are hosting. So,
Friday, December 5th, David Fletcher of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment will be down at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., the draw. We will have a show here on ESPN 97.5 from 11 to 3. I'm going to have a number of people jumping on. We're going to pontificate. We're going to talk. We're going to find out who the group of death is. We're going to talk about players that this could be their swan song, like Manuel Neuer and Luka Modric. And we're going to talk about rising stars, teams that could potentially pull off upsets. 48-team tournament. It's probably fair to say we might expect the unexpected a little bit in this.
Well, you hope for it, right? Those stories are so great, particularly in the early stages of these tournaments. I mean, you've got countries like Curaçao, the smallest country to ever qualify for the World Cup and their first visit, and right here in the CONCACAF region. You know, you've got the big boys like England, France, you know, Argentina, Brazil. But you know, I think that's the magic of why these games are played, right? We were talking before the show, Glenn. You know, that's the beauty of sport. On paper, you really can't you can't expect an Uzbekistan or a Cabo Verde to make a run. But what if they do? You know, what if they do like Cameroon did back, several years ago in their first appearance in the World Cup? What if Team USA continues to build on the success they've had in this offseason and really, you know, solidifies themselves as a major force in the space? So many fun storylines, so great to see it all coming to our country and this region. And, you know, I think particularly what I've been really kind of excited to see, given how much we work with CONCACAF and how many of these teams have been through our market between here at NRG and Shell Energy over the years, is the strength that they're showing right now. Yes, U.S., Mexico, and Canada all qualified by hosting, but a really exciting, you know, pre-qualifying tournament with Panama, Haiti, and Curaçao making it through, potential for a couple more to get in. I mean, I think when we look at the sport in this region, that obviously Mexico beating U.S. here in the CONCACAF Gold Cup final this past July here at NRG, you know, those are great signs for the growth of the game in the region. It speaks a lot to you know, what the sport is trying to do. You need the traditional powers, but to see success in your area breeds more success. And I think in our very small way that we have, being an international destination, being a hub for CONCACAF between our two venues and our market as a whole, it's fun to see what little role we've been able to play in that success, and excited for more ahead.
You've played more than a little role in it, because I do believe some of the attendances in the early years when Jamie Roots was here, and of course then you became involved, that those early attendances really opened the eyes of people, not only in the U.S., but around the world, to Houston as a soccer market.
Well, that question, we've talked about that many times on your shows, and it's a huge part of the narrative. You know, NRG Stadium, Houston, was a bold early adopter of the model of, let's put these big international games, starting with U.S. and Mexico in 2003, in these NFL venues, in these major markets, and see what happens. And thankfully, thanks to a tremendous amount of hard work, the base of work that had already been in place, and great partners like yourself, you know, that Houston showed well and continues to show well. And we have built ourselves into the destination for the sport here in this country. And to have that platform now on the biggest of stages is something we've earned, we're excited about, and we're looking forward to building upon going forward.
Yeah, such a great soccer community here, no question about it. Representation from all over the world. We're talking to David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. He's going to be down at the Kennedy Center. We're going to be doing a show here, a draw show from 11 to 3 right here on ESPN 97.5, and that will be on Friday. We're going to find out who's coming to Houston, Texas. All right, are we ready for this thing? We're going to have 500,000 people or more coming here. Are we ready? Get the grills fired up. They're coming from all over the world.
Get your Kinder's barbecue ready. No, listen, Glenn. The short answer is yes, without question. I know there's a tremendous amount of work, and as I shared earlier, all credit to Chris Canetti and the local organizing committee, the thousands of people in every possible area that you can think of that have already been working for the better part of 6 years to make sure Houston is ready. There is a lot of work ahead. It is the biggest stage that this community has ever seen. And so, you certainly want to try and do your part to make sure that we are ready. And there are always opportunities to try and throw you off that course. But that said, Houston is a great global destination. Our infrastructure is well positioned to make for a great experience for those traveling in. The planning is being done on the backs of the experience that this community has in hosting major events and major international soccer events. And over the next 6 months, as many of those remaining elements are going to be shored up, and we're going to be ready for a great event. And something that I think this community, including you and me, still don't know how big it's going to be when it all comes and said and done. The hospitality community is certainly prepared and has done their part with the great restaurants, hotels, attractions that we have here. But as I've talked about on this show, as you and I have talked about in private conversations, this is as big as it gets, and that takes a lot of work, and so you never know what's going to happen, but man, I'm excited we get the opportunity to have it. That's for sure.
David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. Get on that plane. Get down to the Kennedy Center. We're expecting you to rep Houston in a big way, like we know you will. Congratulations on all the work at Energy Stadium, and the excitement around the World Cup continues, David. Thanks for coming on the show and ending it in big style tonight.
I always appreciate you, Glenn. Good luck this week, and excited to talk soon about who is actually here.
We'll get you right back on really quick. That does it tonight here for producer Brian McDonald. By the way, I want to remind you, FWC26Houston.com. FWC26Houston.com. Get the specific Houston World Cup merchandise there. Much, much more. Volunteer turnout has been incredible. Soccer community is mobilizing. We will see you Friday from East River 9 near Edo. From 11 to 3, it'll be the Draw Show on ESPN 97.5. I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.